Okay, go ahead and take a seat. We'll get started. Good evening. We welcome you all. I kind of like it right here. I know I'm someplace different every time, huh? Just trying to get used to things and seeing what's more comfortable, and I appreciate you guys putting up with that. Also, in case anybody falls asleep, I can just come over and just... So, tonight, we're in Psalm 23, so let's turn in our Bibles to the 23rd Psalm. If you would like a Bible, just raise your hand. An usher would be glad to get one to you, but you'll definitely need one tonight because it's a Bible study, and we're going to pay close attention to what the Lord wants to teach us. So, Psalm 23 is where we're at this evening. Psalm 23. You know what, and instead of me reading it, I'm going to direct your attention over here to one of the walls, and we'll kind of follow along.
Okay. The Lord is my shepherd. I'm looking at the camera while I'm doing the Bible verse.
Okay, good.
Why don't you look at the camera too?
Oh, okay.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lay down in green pastures. Leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Surely, prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Now my head, you anoint my head with oil. Surely, my cup overflows. Surely, yes. Surely goodness will follow me all the days
surely
of my
goodness life. Goodness and love.
Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Psalm 23 is where we're at this evening, and so familiar. She knows it. You guys have at least heard it. Many of us are so familiar with it. And in fact, there's a good chance that it's the most well-known passage in the Bible to anybody, anywhere. It's a very well-known passage, and you know what? It's for that very reason that we need to be careful that we don't become numb to it. It's for that very reason that we need to be careful that we don't just look at it and say, oh, that's cute, or that's nice, or that works. But the challenge this evening is for us to search our hearts and to diligently decide and see if indeed the Lord is your shepherd this evening, and if you indeed are enjoying the truths and the beauty of this psalm. And we acknowledge, of course, that Psalm 23, we've heard it, we've seen it on plaques, it's everywhere. It has its high place in history, in poetry, in song, especially in religion, and rightfully so. But let's not forget that it all started with a little shepherd boy. Let's not forget that it started with a young man in a field shepherding his father's flock. We know that David wrote this psalm. We don't know exactly when he did. A lot of people lean towards the idea that perhaps it was later on in life simply because of all the wisdom that we find here and because of the clear life experience that this person has gone through. But the bottom line is whether he wrote it in the field or not, it was inspired there. It was inspired long before Samuel ever came along and anointed him as king, and long before he ever had the greatest kingdom that Israel would know. Long before that, David came to understand some things that inspired this very psalm. David walked among his flock, and as he considered his relationship with those sheep, he considered his relationship with the true and living God. So it's important, very important, that we acknowledge and that we constantly keep ourselves in check and remind ourselves that this psalm was not inspired by stained glass windows. This psalm was not inspired by cathedrals or even by religion. But this psalm was inspired by natural things. It was inspired by a field, sheep, and a shepherd. It's that simple, the natural things. And so as we go through this tonight, I picked these pictures because we're in a building right now, and most of our days are perhaps spent in some sort of a concrete jungle, and we forget. We can forget. And the further away we get from this, the further away we get from just the beauty and the truth and the power of this psalm. So keep these things in mind, because these natural things are exactly what we're going to talk about. Shepherding in David's day was very much just a way of life. And perhaps some of you are much more familiar with it than I am, but the bottom line is a lot of us, I would venture to say the strong majority in this room, are not familiar with the days, with just the ins and outs of being a shepherd. But in David's day, and of course in that area, in Israel and in the Middle East, still to this day, very much, it's a way of life. Shepherding is just a way of life. And so when David wrote this, there was nothing vague about it to anybody that would have read it or sang the song. It would have been very clear. I remember, in fact, a handful of years ago, my family and I had the opportunity to go to Israel, in fact, with a group from this church. And when we were in the Jerusalem area, we got to stay at a kibbutz that actually the balcony overlooked the Bethlehem region. And in the morning, you could see shepherds taking their flock out to pasture. And in the late afternoon, you'd see them bringing them back. And it was a little bit distorted by the fact that that whole area now is Palestinian run, and you'd hear the calls on the loudspeaker for the Muslim prayers. And it's not even safe to go into that area. We were just overlooking it. It's not even safe for us Americans to go in that area these days. But the bottom line is, it's still going on to this very day. That roughly that same area where David had his flock. In fact, when we first find David in Scripture, he's out with the sheep. Remember, Samuel came along and said, was going to anoint the king, and Jesse, David's dad, had to say, well, he's just out with the sheep. In fact, a couple times that's kind of David's last name in Scripture. David, the one that's out with the sheep. That's what he did. That's what he knew, and that's what he related as he saw these things. And so it's as David considers the fields, the pastures, the sheep, as he considers his relationship to them, he realizes and he comes up with this incredible statement, and that is, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And everything else in this psalm is either explaining, describing, elaborating upon this very simple yet very profound statement. The Lord is my shepherd. Let's make sure we notice that when it says the Lord is my shepherd, it's not just a title there. It's a name. If you are a believer, if you've received what Jesus has done on the cross for you, the Lord is your shepherd. And it's not some, you know, it's not the big man upstairs. It's not somebody way out there in the universe. Yes, he is vast and he inhabits eternity, but he has a name. His name is Yahweh, the God of the Bible. And you know what? We see its ultimate fulfillment in the person of Jesus. Remember when Jesus told his disciples in John chapter 10? He said, I am the good shepherd. Guys, our shepherd has a name. Our shepherd, this relationship is personal. And that's important. Because when you've come to know who your shepherd is and what he's like, when you've come to know his name, Jesus, when you've gotten to know him, you know what? It's a lot harder to forget about him. It's a lot harder to walk away from him, and it's a lot easier to trust in him. God is personal. And then the next little section there, the Lord is my shepherd. Those three words there, is my shepherd. They tell us and they acknowledge two very important truths. The first one is this. It acknowledges the way that God wants our relationship to be with him. It's about God's relationship with man and vice versa. And we're going to talk about that in a moment. But first, I want to talk about the second truth. It's the one we like the least, and that is this. We are sheep. When you acknowledge that you have a shepherd, you acknowledge that you are a sheep. And this isn't a one-time thing in Scripture. It's not like we can say, well, God, sometimes he calls us tigers, and sometimes, you know, he says we're like sharks. And then there's that one time in Psalm 23 where he says we're like a sheep. Fact of the matter is God constantly throughout Scripture describes his people, his children, as sheep. I was thinking of just a hypothetical situation in which, what if God were to somehow ask us, that is, us as human beings, us as people, what if God were to ask humanity as a whole, say, okay, guys, I want you to tell me what you think of yourself. I want you to tell me what you would compare yourself to, and I'll give you anything in the universe, anything on earth. Say, you know, this is what you think you're like. God looks at us and he says, I'm curious, what do you think of yourself? And again, this is hypothetical. And he would say, now, I do have something in mind, of course, but I want to know what you think. And so here we go. All these answers. Could you imagine the answers that God would get? In fact, if it wouldn't break his heart first, he'd be rolling around laughing. Because we think the most outrageous things of ourselves. And we as people just have a habit of just seeing ourselves in a wrong light. So God says, what would you compare yourself to? What do you think you're like? And somebody says, well, I guess a grizzly bear, if I got to pick something, you know, big or mean or tough, grizzly bear, whatever. And somebody goes, well, you know, I'm more like a mountain. And just all these great things that we as people tend to think that we are. Who are you, God says? And many people, of course, would say, well, I've evolved from a lower life form. Many people would say that. And then there are quite a handful that would say, you know what, I'm my own God. That's who I am. In fact, I stumbled upon one man's answer in a review of a book that was about knowing who you are in the universe. And basically the summary that this person writing the review gave of this truth is, and that's their truth, more truly, he says, your only true objective identity, and it's pretty hilarious that he says objective identity, your only objective identity is all of it, the whole universe, all that is. You are the root and ground of the whole universe. And God looks and he says, well, I was going to say sheep. Sometimes cute, sometimes not, but sheep. I was in here earlier testing this out, and one of the ushers walked in, and I said, "That's you. That's you." He appreciated it because he understands. But that's our first step, guys. That's our first step, is acknowledging who we are. God says, you're like sheep. So what are sheep like? Well, and this has nothing to do with, you know, I don't have anything against the animal itself. But let's look at some of its tendencies and see what we're like. Sheep are extremely delicate, sensitive, prone to danger animals. They are. We have to face it. Sheep, when compared to all the other animals, are dumb. And essentially, they're helpless. They're easily fearful. And their only recourse when there's danger around is to run away. That's the only thing they can do. They have no self-defense. They run. And the problem is there are all kinds of dangers for sheep. Whether it be predators, disease, malnutrition, something that I've heard termed ovine ineptitude, which simply means that once you've fallen on your back, that's it. You're not going to get yourself up. That's us, guys. That's us. You know, another tendency of sheep is even if the pastures that they're feeding in are green, they will still, some of them will still try to get beyond that fence to dry grass just because they're sure that wandering is the best thing, that the grass has got to be greener. And essentially, the bottom line is, and this is where it applies to us, well, I guess they all apply to us, but as far as it goes before the Lord is, sheep are completely dependent upon their shepherd. The shepherd keeps the sheep safe, clean, nourished. In fact, their well-being is completely dependent upon the shepherd. That's the lesson that God wants to teach us. It's really as simple as that. That's the lesson that God wants to teach us this evening. To be completely dependent upon them, upon Him. And in order to even get to that place, well, it's the same as the gospel. We must first admit that we are sheep. We must first admit that we are sinners. We must first admit that, like Isaiah wrote in Isaiah chapter 3, that we are like sheep and we've all gone astray. But let's make this also very clear. The amazing thing is not that we're sheep. That's the humbling part. But the amazing part is that God, the true and living God, the creator of the universe, our creator, has chosen to stoop and to be our shepherd. The amazing thing is that when we went astray, that God went after us. God wants to be our shepherd. And you know what? This gives us tremendous insight into how God wants our relationship with Him to be. And it's all about relationship. It has to do with trust. It has to do with love. It has to do with following the shepherd. Guys, let this completely get your perspective right on how God wants His relationship with you to be. That's hard in this world, huh? Most people would say they have no idea, or they would give the wrong idea. And many of us as Christians struggle with that. How does God view me? Is He upset with me? How does God picture this thing? It seems so distant. God doesn't say, you know, I am the polite boss. He doesn't say, I am the fair dictator. He doesn't say, you're the lamb and I'm the chef. He says, I'm the good shepherd. And it's about that relationship that He wants to have with us. And you know what, I want to make sure we're real clear on this, because I don't know, of course, nor do I want to take it for granted that all of you have received Jesus as your Savior. It's not like the choice is sheep or a shark or something like that. We're all sheep. In fact, God says if you're not his child, if you're not his sheep, then you're a goat. So we're all dirty little farm animals, basically, that need help, that need provision, that are dependent on things. In fact, this will be the second time in a row that I quoted a secular musical artist, but it was a Christian record, right? Remember Bob Dylan's song? It may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. And it's so true. It's so true, and I kind of apologize if that song's in your head the rest of the night. It's not so bad. I thought about playing it, you know, for this. We could close with that song. You're going to have to serve somebody. We all are in a helpless position. The bottom line, the true beauty of all of this is that God is offered as a shepherd. We all need a shepherd. The beauty of it is that God is willing to shepherd us. We're going to move past verse 1 here, but there's something else that I want to point out too in order to dispel any kind of misconceptions here in Psalm 23. And that is this. As we continue in Psalm 23, let's be real clear. Let's be real clear that this is about real life. And it's about the earth that we live in right now, and it's about the bodies we live in right now, and it's not some kind of a fairy tale. It's not just a bunch of nice words. And if you're looking at it, or if you've looked at it in the past and said, it just sounds too pretty to be part of my life, or it just sounds too perfect, well, you know what? You've missed the point. Because let's look at the following verses. Addressed in these verses is every trouble or danger that we face in life. Death, fear, enemies, danger of every kind. The reason why we miss it is because when the Lord is our shepherd, he takes these things and he turns these things for good according to his purpose. To the point that he almost negates the bad things that are going on. Death, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Enemies, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. We miss the downside of it because God's goodness and his victory is so much greater. Let that be a picture of our lives. But let us make sure that as we go through this, that we realize he is hitting what is real. It addresses our troubles. It's not about just, you know, perfect green pastures and everything is fine and rosy, but our troubles are addressed here. In fact, one of our greatest troubles is addressed right off the bat. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I will not lack. I will not be in need. You know what? One of our greatest troubles as human beings is desire. Our desire for whatever it might be, it's not quenchable. Whether it's money, whether, I don't care what it is, you are not happy if you get more of it. And so, even as that is the case, this verse is not about what you have. This statement, I shall not want, is not about what you have, it's about what you have in Jesus. Really, it could be summed up in that one word, contentment. Because again, we have to be honest that those people in this world that have more, do they now desire less? No. It is about being content with what you do have in the Lord. In fact, we see David and other psalmists in the book of Psalms use this phrase that I love so much. He says, "The Lord is my portion." We try to bite off the biggest chunk of whatever it is in this world. And you know what? We ought to be satisfied that God be our portion. You know what? Let's turn to Philippians chapter 4. Will you turn there with me? Philippians chapter 4, verse 11 through 13. Again, this is about being content with your master's care over you. This is something that Paul learned, and I stress the word learned, because it's not just someplace that we automatically find ourselves someday magically. And the promise here is not that we are going to have everything we could ever want. The promise is learn to find that Jesus is everything that you want and need. Philippians 4:11 through 13. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And then jump down to verse 19 there. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Contentment. That's what it's about. Finding ourselves content with our shepherd. And it's important for us to learn that it's not about making sure that everything's fine, making sure that every danger is taken care of, making sure that I'm full, making sure that I don't have any more needs. Okay, now I can rest. God says, no, I'm going to take care of every single one of those things. But rest now in me, in spite of the dangers and the troubles that we see around us. God does not promise us material riches. He doesn't promise us physical health. He promises us joy, peace, love, fulfillment, heaven. Those things are all ours in Jesus. I mentioned it a few Wednesday nights ago, and I'm going to repeat it again. If you want the world's blessings, don't go to God. And if you want God's blessings, don't go to the world. Many people in this world try to find fulfillment and love and peace in this world. But you know what? Many people try to find cash money, physical well-being in God. And both types of people go away disappointed. Be content in your shepherd. Verse 2, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me besides the still waters. You know, something that we can forget very easily is that most of the areas in the world where there are sheep, they are very dry, arid places. In other words, green pastures and still waters are not the rule, but they're the exception. In fact, you know what green pastures and still waters are? They're the result of the diligent hard work of the shepherd. Again, it all has to do with the shepherd. Verse 3, he restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Remember a few weeks ago we talked about Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walks not in the path of sinners, or stands not. Oh man, you caught me. I don't have it memorized anymore. And it talks about that man that walks in the path of sinners. And here we see that God will lead you in the path of righteousness for his sake. Verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Beautiful. Beautiful. Couple things I just want to point out tonight. Number one, notice that it is the shadow of death and not the substance of death. Because remember, when Jesus rose from the dead, the sting of death was taken away. Our bodies will go to the grave. Our spirits will not. God has the victory now. The shadow of death. But yes, the shadow of death in this life, there might be no more fitting of a phrase than that. But notice the cure, because that's the key here. For you are with me. The very key is His very presence. And that's the same thing with sheep and their shepherd. It's not so much about what dangers are about. It's, is He there? And the end of verse 4, does He have His rod with Him so He can club the danger? Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The rod really was what was used to protect the sheep. Almost more like a club that the shepherd would practice with. It was his main weapon. And he would use it against whatever it might be, wolves, whatever it might be that might be a danger. He could use it close up. He could throw it good to protect the sheep. Then the staff. The staff was that piece, almost like a cane, and it had the, kind of like a candy cane, it had that crook on it, and the shepherd would use it to keep the sheep in line. One goes off, all he had to do is wrap it around the neck and pull it back in, correcting us. A wise man is teachable. A wise person is willing to be corrected by the Lord. And in fact, a wise person gets to that point, like David did, where they say, you know what? Your rod and your staff comfort me. Your protection and your correction comfort me. Verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Again, this just speaks of great victory and abundant blessing. And verse 6, the final verse, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The perfect ending, the true ending, a long life, the path of life, a dangerous path. But with God as our shepherd, He will protect us, He'll provide for us, and He will bring us home safely. You see, almost a journey of sorts as you go through this psalm, all centered around the Lord being our shepherd. Takes you to the green pastures, the still water. Protects you because He's there no matter what is around, no matter how dark it gets. You will fear no evil because He's with you. And then He brings us home, and surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life, and you will dwell. We will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. I don't know if you guys recall, just this last Sunday, Pastor Dale quoted out of a commentary, and the quote was real simple. It just said, grace is the home of the soul. And I thought of that as I read through this psalm, and I thought that's just perfect because this psalm has everything to do with God's grace. Because the sheep does not care for itself. The sheep does not feed itself. Does not fight for itself. The shepherd does all of these things, and it's the same with us. And it starts, and let's make sure we're very clear on this, it starts with Jesus, the good shepherd, laying down His life for the sheep, and with you receiving that gift of salvation. The Lord being someone's shepherd, that's not a universal thing. I don't say that to be cruel. I say that to be honest and to be clear. The Lord is the shepherd of the one who believes, of His child. And if you find yourself in a place where you go, you know what? I've never received what Jesus has done for me on the cross. If you find yourself in that place tonight, I encourage you, receive Him. Hear His voice. Listen to His voice say, I am the good shepherd and I lay myself, my life down for you. In fact, let me read some of that. After He says, I am the good shepherd gives His life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. Then verses 17 through 18, this is all in John chapter 10. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. And then Isaiah 53:6, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. It's about grace. God, our shepherd, will bring us home, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And that house is full of grace and full of mercy. I couldn't help but think, as I read these verses, of the song Amazing Grace. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. And then the concluding verse, when we've been there, dwelling in the house of the Lord, 10,000 years. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Lord, I pray that every truth in this psalm would hit home in hearts tonight. Lord, that we would find ourselves content in you. That we would find ourselves enjoying the benefits of you being our shepherd, God. And that we would find ourselves not straying like we are so prone to do. But that we would constantly just love your shelter, love your arms, and yield to you, God. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to go ahead and close in song. If you would like prayer, I encourage you. There will be prayer partners over here. You can find myself or Pastor Ben. We'd love to pray with you, love to talk with you. But please don't let these things be forgotten tonight or in the near future, but allow the Lord to just drive them home to your heart. And be reminded that this is the relationship God wants with you. So let's stand. Give me a second to get my guitar, and we'll close in song.